First off, I'd like to welcome Sydney to the team. We'll start her training in a week and a half, so welcome aboard. I would also like
welcome Sydney.
Yes, go ahead if anybody else wants to say something.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Just wanted to say welcome.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Firelight.
Thank you very much.
I would also like to bring to the team's attention that Fred's father-in-law, which is also Starfire's grandfather, passed away, and we give our condolences and love to you and your family.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I spoke to Father this morning, and he was in a good mood. That's always a plus for us. So, who just joined us? Is this Lori?
Lindsay.
Lindsay, wonderful.
I'm here, though. It's Lori.
You're there? Wonderful.
I am. Sorry I'm late. I was stuck in a meeting.
All right. You get to buy the beer.
Woo!
Adjustment. Okay, spoke to Father, who's in a good mood, like I said, and he said, well, wait a minute before we do that. Yeah, he asked me to give you all of their love, and please receive my peace. Father said, a very happy afternoon to all of you. My love for all of you is now even greater. Would you like to know why? You put me first in your lives. Your prayer lives have increased in love and depth. You are not afraid to tell me anything, and I appreciate your candor. I enjoy your honesty and how open your hearts are now as you pray and just speak to me throughout your day. For some of you, this was a difficult task. Many of you have now mastered it, and some of you still struggle. I will draw all of you closer to me as you allow me to come closer to your heart. Well now, where should I start? The past few months have seen many changes in the world, in the team, welcome Sydney, and in your hearts. And yet, you have not faltered in your faith. I have been preparing you for all of these changes, and you as a team are now almost ready to move forward with my plan. When Sydney and Maddie are fully trained, I will start to share more details with you as to what my plan is for you and how it will unfold. Please be patient. Many conversations have taken place between the Apostle Orlovsky, Supplanter, Lightstar, Brilliance, and Tranquility. He understands now what it is that all of you do for me. Well, he is trying to fully understand how it is that all of you will fit into this new church. Yes, I said new church. The new apostolic church will be changed into something new. The doctrine will always stay the same, but the hearts must change and accept all that is coming. Many will leave. You have been told this, but many more new souls will be added. The greatest concern the current leaders of the church have is that there will not be any brothers to help complete the great task of bringing my son's bride home. This is where all of you come in. Looks like I am sharing before all the training is complete. No, I am not getting senile in my seasoned years. And then Father actually laughed. It matters not to me the gender of my servants. It is through this process and team that I have molded all of your hearts and changed you from powerless humans to powerful healers, counselors, and slayers of evil. To the women of my son's team, I now address you. For the first time in the history of this church, women now play an important role. My son's supplanter has told you that in time, some of you ladies will be given ministries. I confirm that for you now. You have all been given the heart of a priest. A priest is an intercessor of the soul. You are all doing that now. You bring the concerns of your charges before me. You plead their cases to me, and you defend and fight for them. this is what all priests should be doing, and yet this lacks within the hearts of my current servants. It is by this team's examples of faith that all will know you and the works you have done for me. I am so very proud of all of you. Stay strong. Stay close to my son. Spend time with Jesus and the other angels. The time is growing shorter than the world will even know. All the injustice and evil that is taking place is all part of my end time plan. Do not get lost in all the noise of it. You are all wiser than most when it comes to the future and what will take place. Supplanter and Jesus will spend time together to help define what Revelations really holds and defines for the future. He will share this information with all of you. And if he tells you that you have to give him a dollar, you let me know. Now please accept my love and gratitude for all you have done for me and will do for me. I love you all and hold you in my heart every moment. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
When he said new church, I got a question, sorry.
No, go ahead.
When he said new church, doesn't mean, I mean, the name's going to stay the same. It's just the church is going to have to accept the healers and the whole other rest of his plan, right? That's what he meant.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he's also talking about how we're going to be redefining what faith is, just as my conversation was with the Apostle Orlovsky that I emailed all you on. The Apostle understands that even members still don't understand what our faith is. And to me, that kind of makes my heart ache that some of the members have been New Apostolic their entire life, and yet they still don't understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. That's where I step in and I help redefine and confirm and clarify what faith is in our church. So yeah, it's just the logistics. It's not the doctrine. That's not going to get touched. He even pointed that out. So good question.
Okay.
Anybody else? Okay. Fred, if you can mute everyone at this point.
Will do.
Thank you. All right. Now I have complete control. Okay. So some interesting things took place about a month ago between Lightstar. Got to get all your names straight. Lightstar, Brilliance, and Blazar. I asked the three of them to put together an email and send it to you, but because time was short, they didn't have a chance to send it to you. So I have from Brilliance what the three of them comprise together, and I'm just going to read this information to you so that you are now in the loop with what is going on. The title of this subject that we're going to discuss right now is called Souls for Satan's Army. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. So Brilliance sent me this email yesterday, and here is the gist of it. This experience began while Lightstar was meditating about a month ago. During the meditation, she was taken to a place where she saw Middle East children being beheaded by ISIS forces. Lightstar witnessed the children's death, watched their souls cross over, and saw the souls being handed over to demons. Lightstar could not see any angels anywhere. This was very concerning. As usual, a soul is ushered into eternity by an angel. I'll stop for a second and just preface this. Yes, most of the time that happens, but I have personally witnessed souls being dragged to eternity by demons as well. Okay? Let's continue. Lightstar called Supplanter to discuss the vision, and Supplanter recommended that they pray for these souls until he could speak with Father. He would give her additional information as it became available. Lightstar shared her impression with her husband, and it was then that she realized that an army for the dark side was being assembled. These children were brainwashed by the abductor demons, the anti-God beliefs that had been held by their ancestors and families were collaborated by the kidnapper demons. There is no loving God, because if there was, he would not allow this situation to occur, is what they were told. During the September conference call, Blazar reported on a program which described the circumstances surrounding a haunted home. The spiritual expert, in this program explained that the souls involved were being trapped by hoodoo magic. As Blazar spoke, Lightstar was shown that these souls were trapped there by demons. She was then permitted to see via 3D map view all those souls as they were taken to a military base, per se. The band of souls was this core of demons distributed to the Force. None of the souls showed any emotion when they were transported and delivered to the base. No terror, no emotion, no fight, just blank face submission. Lightstar was reminded that a soul has free will. God will not interfere with a soul's decision to join with evil. Lightstar shared this information with Supplanter, and Supplanter said he would speak with Father. Lightstar felt that Blazar was somehow connected to this vision, but not sure how. Here is a recap of the TV program Blazar saw. Before the last team call started, we had some free time, so I was conveyed a story from a TV show that deals with paranormal activities, possessions, and hauntings. This show centers around the activities of a paranormal team, a retired NYPD detective, and a medium. This group works with families to find out what transpired throughout the house's history, specifically investigating homes where murders or deaths occurred. The featured family must have lived in the South. During the antebellum period, the house was part of a plantation which had slaves' quarters. There was a slave who was a practitioner of hoodoo, an African practice of black magic. Voodoo is a form of this practice which descends from the Caribbean. This slave was very powerful and would enslave the souls of its victims. This enslavement would increase the slave's strong black magic power. This slave was angry with the family that moved in. The investigation team's initial advice was to destroy the house, burn it, and move away. The family stated they were not interested in losing the house to a ghost. The next solution was to find a living practitioner of hoodoo so the practitioner could absorb the ghost's powers and remove its presence from the house. The investigative team stated that it was the only way to remove this power from the home. Lightstar called Brilliance to share this information. As Lightstar relayed the information, Brilliance saw soldiers lined up, guns being handed them one by one from a military commander, and the line of soldiers and artillery was endless. Brilliance encouraged Lightstar to speak with Blazar to see if more information could become available. Blazar was committed to study the Book of Revelations to see if he could find additional information. Supplanter spoke with Father regarding the vision, and Father said that all we can do for these souls is pray. Father confirmed that this soul militia is being assembled and prepared for battle in the end time. We can't kill souls. Impressions indicate that these souls will be put on the front line, a human barrier, between Satan's forces and God's forces. Blazar actually spent a lot of time researching the Book of Revelations, and he has sent me a number of key passages. When I get together with Jesus, I'm going to sit with him, and we're going to walk through those passages and have him help define to me what they represent and what this is all about. When I initially got my impression from all of this, I didn't really need to speak to Father. He just smiled at me and said, "You know what to do, boy." So basically, here's what's going to happen. We can't interfere with any soul making any decision as far as their free will is concerned. After I got done hearing the end of this information from Lightstar, I looked at... let me take a deep breath and calm down because I'm getting a little emotional about all this. I looked at Lexus and I said, "I am giving you a direct order that you are to form a special forces team and coordinate with the Chief Apostle Strekeisen. I would like you to infiltrate wherever this enemy is holding all of these souls. You will hold at bay all the evil that's in that area, and I would like the Chief Apostle to send in brothers and sisters to convince these people that they have chosen unwisely and that they should reconsider what they're doing. You can't force them, but we can try our best to reconvince them of choosing differently. Please let them know this is their end. On the day that we have the final battle, Satan will put all these souls between us and his army. It's at that time that I will address all these souls, and I will give them two choices. the first choice that they'll receive is that they have the right at that moment to walk off the field and get out of my line of fire. I will give them a few minutes to step aside and get off the field. If they do not, I will then bind every single soul that's on the field. I will cast them off to the side so they are not in harm's way, and then we will destroy Satan's forces. At the end of the battle, after Michael takes Satan and throws him in the lake of fire and anyone else who's left alive as far as a demon is concerned, he's thrown in there with him. These souls that I have bound now will be lined up, and when Judgment Day happens, they will be the first ones who are judged. There's nothing more that you and I can do except pray for them. Fred, you can unmute everyone, please. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, or things you would like to say or discuss, please?
This is brilliant. I just wanted to say, you know, when it comes down to the choice, the word choice itself, making a decision, well, making a decision for good or evil implies that someone had a choice. And the impressions that I've been given on this situation is that obviously these souls haven't been given a balanced portrayal of information as far as who Father is versus, you know, what they are being, what they've been told for generations in their families. So I'm really, really excited that the Chief Apostle Chuck Eisen is going to be sharing information with them, because I did not have the impression that they were making a decision based on true choice.
And I believe you're correct, too, because that was my impression, too. And when I sent this order out, Father did not tell me no. I'm not interfering with their free will. I just want them to understand all of the choices that they have in front of them and reconsider. So that's basically what we did. So I would appreciate everyone if you would please pray for this specific group. Service for the Departed is now 2 weeks away. As of this morning, we now liberate 200,000 realms a day. It's a huge work. We still know very little about what actually takes place. So please, the more prayers, the better. I would encourage everyone that the last weekend of the month, between the 26th and the 1st, or the 2nd of November, I should say, that is the preparatory service for the Departed. That is the week that you and I have to make sure that we are not holding any grudges, that we are able to forgive everyone that has harmed us, and that our hearts are open, because every soul that comes is going to know exactly who you are, that you are a healer on my team. They know exactly who I am. And I'm going to lead into now another point that I would like to share with all of you. I need you to understand that you are a healer. And this is the point I make, is you are who Father named you to be, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You are no longer that person you used to be. So I need you to always be mindful of your conduct and your actions. I need you to be aware of what you're saying and how you're acting, how you react to different situations, and that you are always ever mindful of the fact that you represent our Heavenly Father and me. So please be mindful when someone ticks you off. Take a big deep breath and think to yourself, Father bless you. Instead of, I'm going to paw your butt and have it fall off. Okay? Please be mindful of that a little bit. I would also like to share with you that curses have now become even more present in some of the charges that are coming across some of your paths. So in the prayer tonight, I'm going to give all of you the power and authority in Jesus' name to remove any curse that you come across. You don't need to ask Father. You don't need to ask me. You will now have that power. And how do we do that, Supplanter? I'm glad you asked. It is this simple. When you get to that part, when you're giving the healing to the person and you put your hand on their forehead, then you can quietly say to yourself, in Jesus' name, I now remove any curse from you, from all of your ancestors living and those in eternity. It is now removed. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that?
No, I just want to ask you a question. I just want to take a couple steps back. That group that you asked us to pray for, okay, what name would we give that group?
That would be Satan's Forces.
Okay.
We're going to call it the Souls for Satan's Army.
Okay.
It's a snappy little title that I think the three of them came up with when they put this email together. It works.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. Tranquility. She spent some time with the Apostle Orlovsky on the phone, and then if you could also give us some update on Tom, I would appreciate that, please.
Okay. First of all, Tom's doing good. Fall is typically a challenging time of year for him as far as aches and pains go. So naturally or physically, he's suffering a little bit. Spiritually, he's doing really well. He's singing in the choir now. And the most wonderful thing is that all those ministers that played either a key role or that were perhaps doubtful have all, almost all of them now, have witnessed Tom being as he is healed. So our rector, the district elder, who is very supportive to us, he has seen Tom singing in the choir. The bishop came to our congregation. He broke down a few times when he saw and heard Tom. He said that he had been praying for Tom in every silent prayer behind the altar until he was well. An apostle from Kitchener will be in our congregation. I mean, he's never in our congregation. He'll be there for preparatory service for the departed. And Apostle Zor will be in our congregation at the end of November. So, and we're actually going to be with District Apostle Wall also on November the 2nd. So all the key ministers that either did believe what Tom was going through but weren't able to help, or those who wanted to believe but had trouble understanding, or those that just thought it was, you know, a mental condition, all of them now have been or will see Tom as he is healed, which I just think is just amazing. And I guess one of the biggest miracles is that I'm getting a little emotional. We've forged this bond with Apostle Orlovsky, and Tom had written Apostle Orlovsky an email, and he said, if there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. If there's anyone that I can pray for, I'd be more than happy to, because I've got the time, I'm at home. And Tom hadn't heard from the Apostle Orlovsky for a while, and last week Apostle Orlovsky sent Tom an email and said, hey, what about if we talk on, I think it was Tuesday. So Tom didn't have any voice, so I was the mouthpiece for Tom. And it was really wonderful, because the way that the apostle started the conversation was, he said, Tom, the reason why I'm asking you and sharing my concerns with you is because I know that you've been to hell and back. And I know that when you pray differently, because you've seen things that most have not seen, and you've experienced things that most have not seen. And I know that your prayers hold more weight. And then he opened his heart to us, and I actually took some notes afterwards. Tom and I were trying to recall, because we did promise him that we would pray for these things. And the wonderful thing was that all the insights that Apostle Orlovsky had are all things that we've been talking about in our team conferences. There are things that Father has shared with us through SUPPY. And for me, that was so awesome that this apostle, you know, the ambassador of Christ, knows exactly he knows exactly what is going on. So I'll just share some concerns that he shared with us, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The one thing that he said was that there's terrible things that are to come in the future, and that he's concerned for the worthiness and the completion of the bride of Christ. And that was one thing that we just heard just a few moments ago. And then he asked us to pray, because the time in which we live is characterized by personal or individual self-actualization. He said he was especially concerned about the young people, he said, because many of them are not willing to commit to the responsibilities within the church, and he's concerned about the future of God's work. He asked us to pray because he said there's a general misconception among the members that since the Holy Spirit is active in other churches, which he said Chief Apostle Schneider had told us that the Holy Spirit is also in other churches, he said now he's concerned because there's a misconception among the members that the apostles' ministry is no longer necessary and that people are leaving the church. He said, however, what they don't realize is that the apostles' ministry is necessary. It's an essential component for the completion of the bride of Christ. And he said that at one time, in a small circle, the chief apostle Fair once mentioned that some have a lot of faith, but they lack a lot of love, which is their downfall. And he said that one is just as important as the other. And he felt that many members were falling away because there was this lack of love. And so that was another concern. And then he asked us to pray that the apostles will have the understanding and wisdom to provide clarity concerning God's work, just as Chief Apostle Schneider does, and its completion. He said Chief Apostle Schneider is able to provide a lot of clarity, whereas he says a lot of the ministers are not able to do that. And he said that we should pray for the apostles and also the ministers that they will have this understanding. I guess that was... Yeah, I think that was just about it. And at the end, we assured the apostle that, yes, we would definitely, you know, pray for these things that he was concerned about. But I was in awe in a most wonderful way in that he said to us, we're connected at the hip, because we thanked him for the miracle that he was willing to perform the miracles even though perhaps others were not willing to. And so he said that we have a special connection. And I thought, how wonderful this is, because this is almost like a segue for us as a team and for Suppy. We're from Canada. And I'm just thinking how wonderful it is that our Heavenly Father arranged all of this for us, in that we could all be connected, even though we may be miles apart. We're still one heart, we're still one team, we're still all together, working together, I just felt that Apostle Olofsky is very much on our side, and he is supporting what we are promoting and what we believe in the way that the church is moving forward. So that's
amen.
What... Yes, yes, amen, that's for sure. So that's what... that's what our conversation was, and I'm just thrilled and so happy and thankful for all of you.
Thank you. Brilliant set of conversation with the Apostle Olofsky, too. It lasts a little over 3 hours, and I asked her if she would share some of the highlights with the team. Brilliant.
Yeah, so the Apostle came to our little tiny congregation to talk about the future of our congregation, because they're going to move the location of it. And towards the end, when we had the meeting, and then we were having some coffee, and he asked me if he could talk to me, and I was like, of course, you're a living apostle of Christ. What a treat for me. And he pulled me over to the side, and he basically asked me why I didn't go to the flagship congregation, because several months ago, when we had a meeting, a district meeting regarding the flagship, I had an opportunity to speak. And anyway, so we had a little tiny conversation within the church where he had asked me why I wasn't going to the flagship, and I explained to him that I had gone to the flagship, which happens to be Supplanter's home congregation, that I'd gone there on 6 different occasions, but there was no love. There was no warmth. And so that, he was very interested in speaking more about that, but now the other congregants were coming over to talk with him, so he asked if I would talk to him out in the parking lot after, you know, after he had talked to everybody. And so, as Tranquility stated, he spoke much of everything that we've been talking about for a long time on this team. And I'll tell you, after talking to him with 3 hours, there's not that there was any doubt before, but there's absolutely no doubt for me now that this is a true living apostle of Jesus Christ. I know it. I could feel it. I could feel his heart. And even the places, just like all of us, where he doesn't know exactly what is going to happen or what his mission per se, he absolutely knows that he, as a living apostle, they're preparing the bride of Christ. And it was really fantastic because, and I can't remember the order, but he shared, Susan, he shared your and Tom's story with me. And it was one of those situations where I was like, oh my gosh, do I tell him I know? Do I tell him I don't know? I love hearing the story. I'll hear the story. Someone could tell me that story 100 times and I'd still cry and still not get sick of it. So I didn't leave. I was asking my team, I got to tell him. I don't want him to find out later that, you know, I was not upfront honest. My team was like, whoa, slow down there, brilliant. Just acknowledge that you know who Susan is. And so I pleasingly said, I know who Susan Horn is. I actually have a relationship with her. And he so gleefully told me the entire story. My favorite part was hearing him, because I asked him, I said, how'd you know to forgive his sins? And so he told me the story, and I kind of knew this, but I just wanted to hear it from him. You know, when the person tells you the story, you're in there in the moment. And he had said that, you know, the request came to speak with Tom and Susan, and he was out walking his little dog, and the dog was doing his business, and he was arguing with God, like, you know, is Jim crazy? Is this craziness? Like, you know, what am I going to do when I get on the phone with these people who desperately need help? And it was then in there with the Holy Spirit, and I get goosebumps thinking about it. He knows the difference between speaking with God and speaking with Jesus and speaking with the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit gave him that passage from the Bible that, you know, is it better for me to heal sins or, you know, for me to heal you physically, take up your bed and walk? And he said, I knew in that moment that it was forgiveness of sins. So he said he struggled, and he asked God, well, Jim can take care of all these other demons. Why couldn't he take care of this one? And just to hear him say it was, I don't know, when somebody talks to you from their personal experience, you can see everything. You're right there with them, and it was an amazing experience. The apostle shared with me that he has seen God, and I said, oh, do tell. And he was talking about a service that he was holding, and there was something like 30 souls were going to be sealed, and the choir was singing before the souls, as the souls were approaching the altar. Well, the choir expanded and blocked the aisles, and so the people that were going to be sealed couldn't get down, so there was this kind of bottleneck. And right when he was about to get stressed out about, oh my goodness, there's this bottleneck, he said that Father opened up a vista, and he could see Father sitting on his throne. He looked to Father's right, and he could see Jesus. He said there's a throne to the left of Father, and he said no one was sitting there. And he chuckled. He said, well, that's where the Holy Spirit sits. So, and he was there at the service, so of course he wouldn't be sitting in his seat. And I just kind of smiled and kept my mouth shut and just listened. And I could hear him. I could hear the conviction, because throughout our conversation, he admitted, he's like, I don't have the same gifts that other people have. My daughter, my wife have gifts. He's like, I can't tell people they don't have gifts, because that my own, he's like, God's blessed me with my own family that has gifts. And now as he gets further along in his apostle ministry and travels around the world, he is exposed to a lot more. And he admitted that people in this country are not ready to hear everything that truly exists. So then we got on a conversation of a sense of urgency and how serious and urgent this understanding of faith, this understanding of love. And, you know, he and I both talked about if people truly understood how close we were to the end time and how much needed to be done. And I know Lifestar and I have talked about this too. There would be, no one would argue. You wouldn't even argue with your spouse. You wouldn't yell at your kids. There would be nothing that would distract you, because it would all seem so meaningless when somebody is in oneness with Father and understands how much work needs to be done, not only here, but in eternity. A couple of times he was like, when he was telling me the horn story, he goes, you know, I still haven't decided, you know, the jury's still out on whether or not Jim's crazy. And I laughed. I said, yeah, I, you know, yeah, he could be a little crazy. And, you know, we had a chuckle because he realizes that Supplanter and I are friends. She was really friendly. And I, so again, he may not completely understand, and how could he, what Supplanter's role is, what our role will be. Ironically, I talked with him the day before Supplanter sent the email to him telling the apostle who all of us are and that we're on his team. But it was just fantastic and amazing to talk about his ministry and what he and the apostles talk about. Because when he was telling me this, the horn story, I asked him, I said, were you ever nervous at all that the apostle up there would be mad? He's like, no, we're all friends. We're all buds. And I guess I didn't even think about that. I know it sounds crazy, but he's like, no, we're all friends. We're all buds. He's like, I'm really close with the bishop apostle. He's like, no. He goes, it's just more of a courtesy. He's like, I never felt like that was the issue. He just said, I wasn't sure what to do until I walked my little dog. And then because I could tell he was a little bit, when he was sharing this vista and seeing Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know, this whole, and he was telling me that all these other beings were there and he was describing them. He's like, you probably think I'm crazy. I said, no, I don't think you're crazy. Interestingly enough, you know, and he knows my story a little bit about God's divine intervention in my life. And I said, since then, I have been blessed with certain opportunities to see certain things or experience certain things. And I shared with him my meeting with Adam and Eve. Of course, I couldn't say it was during a healing session with Supplanter. But shared with him every, you know, just the difference in perspective and how we human beings get so caught up in this moment of time that it's our everything. And, you know, we have to win it and we have to control it. And, you know, for me, even meeting Adam and Eve, we talked about what a very different perspective, you know, the most notorious couple in eternity, you know, blamed for everything, you know, using their notoriety to serve in some of the darkest realms, because I don't care what religion you are. Most human beings on this earth understand who Adam and Eve are. Whether you're atheist, whether you're, no matter what you're not, you know, your religious affiliation. And so we fondly, and for 3 hours, I have no idea where 3 hours went by, and it was freezing out that night, and I have no idea how it didn't feel freezing. We talked about, you know, him being a living apostle, and that the reason that he, as the apostle, needed to talk with the horns was because he said it's not that the other apostles don't have faith. They may not completely understand their ministry. And I said, well, I'm glad that you do understand your ministry. Because I said, there's no bones about it. And, you know, we talked a little bit about what it says in Scripture about a living apostle and what they can do and what the power and authority they were given. And, you know, I had a conversation with him. I had surgery on my face several months ago, and he was at the service that I happened to go to. And I waited to shake his hand because I needed to touch him, knowing that that would help with my healing. And he remembered that. And he had said, I said, you remember, Pastor, when I told you I needed to shake your hand because that would fulfill the healing. And you had said to me, no, your doctors will heal you. I said, look at my face. I assure you that I needed to touch you, to hold your hand, to look you in the eye, to have you bless me and one pray for me. And he said, sister, your faith has made you whole, not me. And so when I tell you, and again, there was so much more, and it was 3 hours long, but everything Susan is saying, that this is a true living apostle. He understands what needs to be done. He knows the sense of urgency. And my impression is that although he doesn't quite understand how Supplanter and this team fits in, when Father opens up his mind to it, opens up his heart to it, it's going to make so much sense that he's going to be thankful that he has us to serve him as well.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Blazar, do you want to share with the team the update on your health, please, so we know how to pray for you, buddy?
I'm good. I just need to, you know, drop 15 pounds in exercise and eat healthy. So I'm good.
Okay. You're on the B list. You're on the B list. All right.
So you didn't have a heart attack, right?
No.
Okay. That's what I want you to tell everybody.
I need to lose the weight so I don't have to be on blood pressure medication. So they're, you know, I'm at 140 over 95. I just need to drop that, and I'll be good.
Wonderful.
Okay. So I'm.
All right. Anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Comment on? Solve? Silence is deafening. Okay, our next meeting is going to be on Friday, November 21st at 6 p.m., and I would like to pray with all of you now. Okay. Here we go. Kind Father of Love, it is overwhelming sometimes when we have these moments with you, where you take the time out to tell us exactly how you're feeling. You express to us such simple words, but they bear such weight on our hearts that sometimes, Father, we get a feeling in our heart that we just want to come home even more. And I appreciate, Father, the team that you have given us. And while I'm remembering, I would like now to give them the full power and authority to remove and lift any curse in our big brother Jesus' name that is now imparted to everyone on this call and anyone else who actually calls in later to listen to this recording. They now have the ability to remove this curse from anyone that comes across their path in Jesus' name. That curse is removed from them as well as their ancestors living and in eternity. It is overwhelming, Father, sometimes to realize the power and authority that you give us, the gift that we have to help somebody else when they are in need, and how selfless everyone is on this team. And in a moment's notice, Father, they are willing to drop their lives, to take a phone call, answer a text, email, or actually leave their home, to go spend time with someone, to counsel them, to hold their hand, to just say a kind word, to give a gentle pogging when the person doesn't even know it. This is the love that you have given us, and we are more than happy to share it with those around us. We appreciate, Father, the opportunities that you give us. We appreciate that you allow us to speak to you at any time, that we are also allowed to come and see you anytime we would like to as well. That, Father, in those moments that we speak with you, we know that we can trust you, that we don't have to worry about being judged or mocked in any way, that all you want for us is for us to try harder to overcome ourselves, to become a better person for you. We think, Father, of how we all used to be before this event even happened for us. And we can smile and take a little bit of credit, Father, that we have allowed you to change us into who you always knew we were. But sometimes, Father, we were afraid of becoming that person because we don't want to disappoint you at all. See the hearts of our teammates here and their concerns for their family, for the losses that some of our friends here have missed, or I should say have had come across their lives. For loved ones who have passed away, a special prayer, Father, is extended to them. A special portion of grace is extended to them as well, because there's got to be some perks to be on this team. Why not? But I know, Father, that you will provide an extra special blessing for those who have passed away recently. And even, Father, we pray, too, for those who are being recruited for Satan's army. It breaks our heart that some soul would actually willingly decide to serve him, but then in the conversation that you and I had, you had said, well, who do you think that these Satan worshipers who still have flesh are choosing to serve? It still blows our minds that somebody would think that they're choosing a team that's actually going to win. We choose you, Father, because we know that you are all-powerful and you are love, and we wish, Father, that you will impart upon us even more love, even more compassion, and more understanding. And we're coming into shortly, Father, the Thanksgiving season, so please see our hearts and how thankful we are for all that you do for us, all the things that we're not even aware that you do for us, and, Father, appreciate always all of the time that you spend with us. We know you have better things you could do, but you make the time and you tell us how special we are, and you even take the time to dictate to us a small letter every month. We do not take that for granted, because in those notes, there is so much information about where we stand in the future, and we are not afraid. We are not worried, because you have given us everything we need to stand strong and be who we are. So I pray, Father, you will knight the hearts of all my teammates, that you will enhance the gifts that you have given all of us, that we utilize them even more for your work, that we can help Father the Apostles complete this task. I don't even think they realize how much work we have in front of us. And that's where they will come to us and they will ask us to help, and we will gladly stand by their sides and help. Provide, Father, if there's something we have forgotten, you will cover it. Know how much we love you and appreciate you. And as always, Father, I bow my will to yours, and I thank you for everything. Feel our love, Father, and we accept everything from you in grace according to your will. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.